Hey everybody, Shalom Aleichem. Welcome, this is Shlomo Katz. You're listening to The Soul of Israel on thelandofisrael.com, on the Land of Israel Network. Thanks so much for tuning in. It's been an incredible few weeks of learning in depth with so many of you, and the feedback we've been receiving from previous shows have been it's been a transformative experience. It takes these sessions that we have now, these live shows that we have now, and it spreads them out throughout the whole week, and it keeps the soul of Israel alive, and at least in my heart and in my life. So I thank each and every one of you. Welcome to my dear brother, Rabbi Ari Abramowitz.
It's a pleasure to be here. It's again just me and you, Jeremy, right. Left for the inauguration.
Right.
That's where he is right now. Right. But I got to just tell you, this little ritual that I can see unfolding right now, of coming here in the morning and going to pray, hopefully on time, in your minyan, and then this class that you give, this chabura, was so powerful this morning. Yeah. And I just, if it's okay, this is your show. I don't want to take
it's
this
our
steering
show.
Wheel
it's
here.
Our show.
But, you know, you said, what do we need to do to purify our thoughts? That was the question you posed.
Right.
Sometimes a great question is much more valuable than the greatest of answers.
Absolutely.
You know, and that question was just, boom, what do we need to do to purify our thoughts? And the answer you gave is very much not a universal one, but to first to recognize what is taking control of our thoughts, what controls our thoughts.
Correct.
And the answer that came up for everybody is these cell phones, you know, and then we were just talking about why and how and analyzing it. And it was so uplifting and exciting for me to be talking about what really we need to be talking about.
You know, something dawned on me right now as you were mentioning this. I think that it'd be easier to identify what the issue is if we actually called it what it was. You just said the issue is our cell phones. How much of our cell phones are used as a functioning phone?
Right. I sort of dated myself there by even saying cell
phone. No. It's true. We say our phones.
Smartphone.
No, we say our phones. Call it whatever. We refer to it as phones. How much of its usage is functioning as a phone?
Mm-hmm.
Almost nothing. I barely talk on my phone. I do a lot of other things with my phone. But this will tie us in directly into one important thing that I wanted to discuss. And I'm so glad you brought this up, because this is the book of Exodus. This is the book of liberation, of redemption. But it doesn't matter how many times someone pulls you out of your own little Egypt, unless you don't identify Egypt as Egypt. And this book that we're talking about, that we're beginning right now, Sefer Shemot, oh, it is. Is it deep? Is it filled with? Every word is talking to you and I today in 2010, January 2017. Every single word. Every single conversation between Moshe, Aaron, Paro, God, everything is clearly directing us and giving us an aid as to how to get out of our own Mitzrayim, how to get out of our own Egypt, how to get out of that which does not allow me to be me, doesn't allow me to be me. So yeah, so what we've been talking about in this morning class is really, it's been a theme we've been doing for a while now. What would it take in order to expand our mindset and truly not just become mindful people, but become mindful, purify our mindfulness as well? Now,
just one thought I wanted to share on this is that chabura, it's called a chabura, and the reason I say it, and I don't just say like a class you were giving.
Right, it's not a class.
Because a chabura is a group of guys that are learning together. And I feel like you really make sure that that happens there. And what can emerge from that is so much more than can emerge, I think, from someone sitting and learning alone with a book or alone at all. There's some sort of synergetic whole that emerges.
Correct.
That is more powerful than what one can
Correct.
Achieve alone.
It's true. This is not a class.
And that's why the book that you're learning is a great description.
B'nai Machshava Tova. You could follow these classes on my SoundCloud page. I think it's soundcloud.com/Shlomo Katz. That's where all the other classes that I do are on there. Please, gladly, if you want to get it directly sent to you, email me at shlomo@thelandofisrael.com and I'll send you all these classes. B'simcha, gladly.
Awesome.
Would love to have you all join what we're doing. You know, the concept of, I once heard a beautiful, beautiful teaching from Rabbi Yitzchak Ginsburg, which brings down that every single parsha is founded on the word Bereshit. The concept Bereshit, in the beginning, the first word of the Torah, the first word of this world, is the foundation of everything we do in our lives. And it's found throughout every single parsha, every single portion of the week. But specifically, it is the theme as well of every single book. Bereshit, Shmot, Vayikra, Bamidbar, Dvarim, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Wow.
Very good.
Wow. Anyway, I'm very, very shocked I was able to do that. This concept of in the beginning of Bereshit, you could find, Rev Ginsburg says, you could find the word Bereshit as an acronym for a certain number of psukim, different words, a gematria, a numerical value. You could find the word Bereshit in all different hints and remazim. And Bederech Remez, Drash, Sod, through secrets, whatever it is. But the word Bereshit is so potent, it's so powerful, and it truly, when you find it in whatever parsha you're looking at, that is the core of that parsha. When you find it in the beginning of a certain sefer, certain book, that is the core of what the parsha, what the book is telling you. So we're beginning right now to discuss true exile and true freedom from exile, freedom from slavery. Now buckle up, boys and girls, because the following teaching is absolutely dynamic, dynamically explosive, dynamite. Rav Ginsburg says that the first thing that Moshe Rabbeinu is told by God, Moshe, the leader, he is now the main focus of the rest of the Torah. It's very interesting how Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they're around, and Yosef, they're around for Sefer Bereshit, one book. And Jacob and Joseph, Yaakov and Yosef, die at the last parsha that we just learned, in the last parsha of Bereshit, of Genesis. Moshe Rabbeinu joins us at the beginning of this parsha. He's with us till the end of the Torah. And what's the first thing that the future leader of Am Yisrael is told by God? What's his introduction to the world of leadership, to the world of relationship with God? Do you remember, Ari? What's the first thing he's told by the burning bush? I think you know this. The second I'll say it, you'll figure it out.
Take off your shoes.
Ah, very, very good. What are the words for take off your shoes in Hebrew? Shal na'alecha me'al raglecha. Remove your shoes off your feet.
Spell shal?
Shin lamed. Shal. Shal means remove, to, like shlila, like to take off, dismiss.
Create a void of shoes.
Create a void of shoes from your feet. Okay, now this we all think is, it's just a ritual. Like when you're in a holy place, we have a tradition. Certain places are so holy, you have to take your shoes off your feet. Actually, my father was privileged to go up to Har HaBayit right after the Six-Day War with the chief rabbi of the army back then, Rabbi Shlomo Gorin.
Your father went up with Shlomo Gorin?
Yeah. My father was in the rabbinical, Lakat HaRabanut HaTzvait, in the chief rabbinical
band?
Choir, yeah. Yeah, he was very close to Rabbi Gorin back then, and he went up with Rabbi Gorin to Har HaBayit. Rabbi Gorin, who wrote a whole book about Har HaBayit, he knew exactly where, what, you know, the Kedusha of Har HaBayit, the sanctity of Har HaBayit, and where exactly a Jew is permitted to go and where not. He went up with him. But the first thing that Rav Gorin, I remember this, my father telling me this my whole life, the first thing Rabbi Gorin, Alav HaShalom, blessed be his memory, told my father was, Shal na'alecha me'al raglecha, remove the shoes off your feet, just like God had told Moshe Rabbeinu. So we have this concept of when a physical place is filled with sanctity, we respect it, and we're in awe of that physical space by removing our shoes. But something much deeper is going on over here. Shal na'alecha me'al raglecha. The Hebrew language is so powerful. Na'alecha, na'alaim, comes from the word, it's the word shoes. Na'al also means your locks. Man'ul, lin'ol, means to lock. Lock means our habits. It means na'alecha, means your lock, things that you're locked on. Raglecha, which means feet, also comes from the word hergel, habit. So what was the first thing that God was really telling Moshe Rabbeinu based on the Hasidic teachings? Shal na'alecha me'al raglecha. Take the locks off your habits.
Oof.
Remove that which you are certain must be, because that's what you're accustomed to in life, and be open to the unknown.
Terrifying.
Or terrifying, scary, exciting.
Exciting.
Like God is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, look, you want to really know what I'm about? Like, you want to really know what you're about? You want to know really know what we're about, what your people are about. Shan alecha ma'araglecha. Remove the locks, mamish, a lock that you have on your habit of that way of thinking of this must be, it has to be this, and this is who I am, and I'm only capable of this, and God is only capable of this. God forbid, that's how we think quite often. That's the way that God begins to talk to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the way he begins to talk to the Jewish leader. Now, what's the connection to Bereishit? That this is the beginning. This is the beginning of everything, of this book. Shal na'alecha me'al raglecha, Rav Ginsburg says, is the gematria of the word Bereishit. That's the numerical value.
Wow.
Of the word Bereishit in the beginning.
Who does this math? Some of these gematrias that I hear, someone has to either be able to think mathematically and see the letters.
No, he's a mathematician, actually. He's a scientist, mathematician. Some people have this.
Oh, this was a chiddush of his.
Yeah.
Wow.
When I heard that, it wasn't more like, what a cool gematria. I can't believe it adds up to that. It was almost like, oh, yeah, this is really what it means. This is a real beginning, a real Bereishit, a real beginning of forming a real relationship with God, which we have the opportunity to do right now. My dearest friends and listeners, brothers and sisters all over the world, right now, this second, wherever you are, whatever you're doing right now, if you're able to remove a lock off of one of your habits, and we're not just talking about eating or drinking, we're talking about more the way that the mind is accustomed to thinking, that you're removing a lock off of a habit, you're now joining Moses by the burning bush. And maybe now you'll be privy to so much more than you could have ever imagined, but this is the beginning. This is how you hear, like Bob, what was Bob Marley's song? There's a natural mystic blooming through the air. If you listen carefully, now you will hear. Right? There will be the first trumpet. Might as well be the last. Meaning you can hear, if you listen carefully now, you'll hear and you'll see and you'll feel and you'll sense and you'll think of so much more than you thought you were able to. See, an exiled person, and specifically an exiled Jew, is a slave driver to his yesterdays.
Oh, that should be at the bottom of every email you send.
The Baal Shem Tov says our greatest slave drivers are our yesterdays. And it's so true.
You know, just Moshe Rabbeinu, what happened before he was told to take off his shoes? He saw this bush, She'inenu Ukal, it was not being consumed. But it meant that he had to stop long enough to look and see this was an aberration from the normal.
Correct.
He had to be present enough to have his eyes open to that. Right. Which is, if I would say there's a theme to my day from the minute you started your shiur to right now, that's the theme of the liberation that we all really need to be able to walk with Hashem.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But that takes, you know, it takes so much guts. It takes so much, not even guts or confidence. It takes something so much more divine. What do you think? What would it take in order for a person to hear a teaching like this and act upon it? Simple. How do we do this? How do we take a teaching like this, Shal na'alecha ma'araglecha, that's the Bereishit, the beginning of even talking to God, knowing what you're doing in this world, is by removing the locks off your habits. How does one take that teaching, which is a beautiful teaching, and put it into action? So that's not an answer that any of us can give that's shayach, that's applicable to everybody. Because whoever is listening right now knows in their heart of hearts, they know what prevents them from, what was the question that you quoted in the beginning? What holds us back from purifying our thoughts?
I think one answer that could be universal is to take a moment, shut off your phones, and write that question on a piece of paper without your phone on, and set an alarm for 10 minutes, not on your phone, and really think about that question. For me, that question really, my eyes opened up, and I was like, that's the question I need to be asking myself.
Right.
What is controlling my thoughts? And just be honest about it in a very sober, dispassionate way, because it's like a heroin addict saying, yeah, you know what? This heroin thing is out of control.
Right. Well, you also got to, like I have right now, you got to grab yourself a really good friend to go through this journey together, because this kind of work, you really can't do it alone. You need, like, you ever wonder, why did God create the concepts of friendships so people won't be lonely? I think it's much more than that. It's so that people can truly be themselves, and you're truly yourself when you allow yourself to hear the wise counsel, wisdom, and allow the love from a beloved one to then penetrate you, to help you be you, not to help you be somebody else, to help you be you. Moshe Rabbeinu had to remove locks off his habits. What was one of his habits? He said, I am so-and-so, and there's no way that I could do what you want me to do in the world, because I am what? I suffer from a speech, what did he say?
Impediment.
Moshe Rabbeinu would stutter. And God says to him, listen, I'll give you right now, Aaron will be your mouth, but just trust me, all physical ailments, whatever you think is that which is like locking you into saying this is who you are, that's a life without God. That's a life, that's a godless life of saying this is what has to be. When you're open to that and you're open to reconnecting to your own Bereshit, oh, you could do anything in the world, because you become anything in the world. And like Hashem can take us out of Egypt every single day, but if that's not part of our ge'ula, of our redemption, who cares?
Can I read something to you, Shlomo? Please. That I sent this to you in your WhatsApp. I wouldn't be surprised. I would be impressed if you didn't read it. But it really applies, because for me, I'll just tell you right now, the cell phone is the one of the roots of what is. And the debilitation.
Stop calling it a cell phone.
Right, the mini smartphone.
The mini computer that I carry with me.
The mini computer that I have in my pocket that is beyond a computer even. Because one thing I've realized that's really scary, but a truth, is that I don't want to have moments that I'm not some way connected to it. Even if it's Torah classes. I listen to a lot of Torah on this thing. But even that isn't good at a certain point, because what am I afraid of? Of moment of reflection and silence to be with my thoughts? I realize that a lot of it is rooted in fear.
It's correct.
Of what would happen in my mind, where I would be, the silence that would ensue without it. And someone sent me this thing that I read every now and then, but I should really just have it every morning. It says, ever wonder what would happen if we treated the Torah as we treat our cell phone? Ready? What if we carried it around in our purse or pocket every day? What if we looked through it many times each day? What if we turned back to go get it if we forgot it? What if we always checked it for messages? What if we treated it as if we couldn't manage a day without it? What if we gave it to our children as a special gift? What if we always looked to it and used it when we traveled? What if we always thought to use it in case of an emergency? I mean, wow. Yeah, it says, and one more thing, unlike our cell phone, we don't have to worry about about Torah being disconnected, because its carrier never fails.
Oh my God.
And it's so true. When I read that, I just, and what does it mean by Torah? It means just having a sefer, like Mordechai Zeller, Rabbi Mordechai Zeller, one of our good friends, he said that his Abba used to always say, you're always safer with a sefer. You know, just
sefer
means
a holy book.
Right. Imagine that we always had some Torah with us.
So what do you do? Can we do this? Can we do this, Ari?
Well, I'm right now moving to this mountain. You look in my car, it's full of suitcases. Right. I'm moving, and I'm trying to take advantage of this very foundational transition to really be very conscious and aware of what I'm doing with my time. Right. And I'm planning on doing it. I would love to. I'd love to talk to you about doing it.
So I want to put something out there. But I don't know if you do this in your other show. I've never done this before, but I'm really inviting right now all you beautiful listeners, and I say beautiful because I have no idea what many of you look like, but I sure know what you sound like when you share your heart with me. So, and that's the most beautiful thing in the world. We're trying to really, I mean, I'm not talking about creating movements. I'm talking about utilizing and sanctifying the waves of connection that exist, which generally don't purify the world. And here we are talking to you from a synagogue in the West Bank of the holy, holy Judean hills in Eretz Yisrael. And we're asking you, let's figure out a way together how to determine and have enough strength to approach what prevents us from purifying our minds. If you could write to us and share your thoughts and pearls of wisdom as to what gives you strength to allow yourself to conquer that which, once you identify, prevents you from, you know, being all you really truly can be. We would love to share a lot of these pearls of wisdom as to help each other get out of our own Egypts. That's the parsha that we're in right now. What helps you connect to your Bereishit? How are you able to remove the locks off your habits? And you know, a few of the really strong ones that we receive we'll be discussing in next week's portion, in next week's session, please God. So if you please email me, shlomo@thelandofisrael.com or ari@thelandofisrael.com, and we'll be hopefully taking this show on the road, literally and figuratively. I'll actually be in Denver this coming Shabbos. For any chaver that'll be out in Denver and want to connect, email me. But we'll be back here with the show next week, and we'll take it from here. And please share your hearts right now. Let's get out of Egypt once and for all, but let's do it together.
Amen.
Shal na'alecha me'araglecha. It's time to take the locks off our habits. Have a wonderful, blessed and beautiful day. Shalom from the Holy Land.
The best place to stay in Jerusalem is at Windows of Jerusalem Vacation Apartments. Check out their website, www.windowsofjerusalem.com. They've got beautiful 1, 2, 3, 4 bedroom apartments in the best location in the city center with the most beautiful, breathtaking views, and I mean breathtaking. I've stayed there a number of times myself, and I'm telling you, there are few places anywhere in the city where you can take it all in to this degree. The view, the location, the great apartments, plus the wonderful staff will truly make you feel at home in Jerusalem. Book your stay now at windowsofjerusalem.com.
When I was growing up, I would read the books in the second half of the Old Testament, and sometimes I would get a little bit lost in all those prophecies of Jeremiah, Isaiah, and so on. That all changed the day I stepped foot in the land of Israel. As I harvested grapes and olives and more on the mountains of Samaria, the words of the prophets came to life right before my very eyes. Today, you could be a part of this phenomenon too. I am Caleb Waller, and I'm inviting you to step into the pages of prophecy by joining us in Israel. Go to our website, that is hayovel.com, H-A-Y-O-V-E-L.com, to connect to this amazing opportunity.